Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, you're now live on the Middleman Talk Show on blogtalkradio.com, and we appreciate everybody for tuning in today. How's everybody doing?
Man, we're doing good, man. Just love under the weather here.
Yeah, Kevin, you've been sick for a while, man.
Yeah, man.
Surprised you made it in today, but we so appreciate your attendance.
Dedication.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Good. I'm loving this weather change.
That's what got me sick.
Yeah. Probably so. Most definitely. Seems like every year around this time, you know, you get a little under the weather.
Yeah. You know. Maybe I need to move to an island where it don't change.
I was just talking about that yesterday. But, hey. To all those that are tuning in to the Middleman Talk Show, we are a very interactive talk show where we have topics ranging from politics, family, health, children, school, government, everything. You know, we talk about everything on this particular show. We want you all to actually join in and give your opinion. We want to hear what you think about certain topics that we put on this on our show. And we air every Sunday, 5 o'clock Central. PM Eastern Time, and we also have our Talk of the Town show with Nick Eden on every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, and I want to thank y'all for continually to listen to us and help us and promote us, spread the word. So we're going strong. We're going to be here for another 3 to 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, but we got an interesting topic for you all today. Of course, the title of today's topic is the worth of black life. But everyone who was aware of, you know, the news and what was going on last week on CNN and, you know, of course, and reading the papers, it was everywhere. Everybody knows about Troy Davis. Sad story, powerful story. You know, I prayed, you know, for the best, you know, of this situation before he was executed. But, you know, he's gone on to a better place. But, you know, we want to send our prayers out to his family and everyone who knows him, his friends, you know, people who he had met while he was incarcerated. We want to send our prayers out to everyone. It's just a touching story, you know. You know, Jen, how you feel about it? I know you know, watched it as well. You know, how do you feel about Troy Davis and his situation?
Well, what I feel about it is that it's sad to say that, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about how much America has progressed and how much America has changed, especially, you know, with the election of Barack Obama, and everybody thinks that everything is, you know, a lot better. And I do think that things have progressed. But I also think that this is proof to us that our justice system is not blind. Our justice system is not fair. And
right.
A lot of things have not changed since, you know, the pre-civil rights and the civil rights movement.
Right. And you know, the actual Pope even said to, you know, said him, you know, well, do not execute him. And a lot of people, when I was on Twitter last week, and a lot of people were saying, you know, why don't President Barack Obama step in to stop this? And
I think that's not fair, though.
Right. You know, I don't know if he could have did anything about it anyway.
At the time, he was in France at the UN
yeah.
summit with the whole thing that we have going on. There's a big brewing with Israel and Pakistan, where Pakistan wants to be recognized as a statehood by the UN, which is really big. And you know that our relations with Israel are always a touchy subject. So I don't think it's fair to put, you know, this is something that's supposed to be handled by our courts, by our justice system, and it's not handled by the executive branch, and we need to have better trust in our justice system, in our judges, in our courts, and we need to demand more of our judges and our courts.
Well, Jen, right. I want to say this, even the fact that it's not his job to say anything. Even if he would have said anything, it could have made a difference. That's just my opinion.
I don't think so.
I mean, not
really. People exaggerate the power of the president. Could he have pardoned him? Yes, maybe he could have. But I just think that I think it's a very unfair position to put Barack Obama in. This went to the Supreme Court of the United States to go against a Supreme Court, a president to go against. Supreme Court ruling, that's never even happened before. That's never even happened before. I just don't think it's fair to put that on him.
Right. I don't think Troy will ever be, forgotten. I feel like this will be something that potentially our kids would be probably studying about or doing a book report on this particular episode. I mean, there have been countless others who died in the past who have been falsely accused, and it brings up, the question about the death penalty. People were talking about, their beliefs or non-beliefs in the death penalty, and that was something that was, talking about on Twitter as well too, as far as if you're for or not for the death penalty. And we had a recent incident here in Mississippi where a black male, James Anderson, who was murdered by two Caucasian men, and the family of James Anderson did not want to push for the death penalty of these two white males, and that was up into discussion, as far as people were talking about that as well. And also Kevin and I also had a conversation about how we felt about the family's view with not restoring the death penalty towards these two males that killed their son. So it's a lot of mixed views with the death penalty, and then also the timely manner of how long it took for them to actually complete the execution on this man. And there's countless others who are in death row, who have been on death row for more than 10 years, that probably won't even see the death penalty in the next 5 to 10 years because of, people are just, the justice system is just not executing a lot of people like that. But certain states are doing it, but, like I said, you have people who have been on death row, 5 to 10 years that may not even see the death penalty. So how do you feel about that, then?
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you say Jen. I just think that I'm not a supporter of the death penalty. I am not. I never made that a secret to anyone. I think this is also an opportunity to explore. We are one of the few countries left in the world that still utilizes the death penalty, and yet our crime rate, our prisons, our whole, system to deal with people that break the law is one of the largest and unruliest in the world. We have a prehistoric system that is not caught up to current times, is not caught up with the rest of the world, but yet we do not have a better system. And I think it's going to shine a light that America needs to start demanding upon its system. You need to revamp it. We talk all this time about, the laws that we have. We have these mandatory minimums. We have lots of things that's destroying people, not only black people, but all kind of people in our criminal justice system. And yet we don't reform it. It's time to take a new look at our system and see what's effective and what's not, and change it. We spend a lot of money. It takes a lot of money to keep someone on death row. And yet we waste millions of dollars every year. Yeah. And some of these people are innocent, and some of these people can be utilized in a different way that will be more effective than costing taxpayers you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to, for them to sit there in a broken system.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
That's true.
And that, you know, so that could be a great topic that we can dwell in on the Middleman Talk Show. You know, I'm pretty sure we get a lot of mixed views on that particular topic because we can actually break it down with, you know, from the Supreme Court judges as far as once they are in, they're in for life. I feel like they should have a term.
Yeah.
As far as being a Supreme Court judge, because you have a lot of them who are set in them old ways.
From a different era and time.
I wouldn't think. That's right. Exactly right. So, we want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Middleman Talk Show. We see a lot of people on the phone lines. If you have any questions or concerns that you want to pose on the show, make sure you press that number one on your phone, and we'll definitely get to you. I want to appreciate all our listeners who are listening online: Green Beasley, The Despited and Rejected, A Harrell 2000. Appreciate you all for coming in and listening online, and all our other people who are listening and don't have a profile on Blog Talk, get your profile on Blog Talk so you can actually join in on the chat board and we can actually see your comments and you could join in and listen to us. But the title of the day show, the subject, Ad Matter, the worth of black life. This is something that, you know, sparked the interest to us, you know, after seeing the execution of Troy Davis. I mean, we just felt like we really need to dwell on this and talk about this. I mean, there are countless people who have been murdered, executed, brutally beaten, and it appears that some do not care or even understand the worth of life. You know, we have those such as, like I said earlier, Troy Davis. We have Sean Bell, Oscar Grant. We have Rodney King. You know, everybody knows about Rodney King and his beating. Amadou Diallo. Ayanna Jones, who was a 7-year-old little girl who was killed last year, sleeping in her home when the police raided her home raided the wrong home, and the gun went off and murdered her while she was in her sleep. And also James Anderson, who was killed down in Jackson, Mississippi, and who I was speaking about others earlier. But the question at hand: do we value ourselves, our education, improving our community, and also getting a legitimate job? Do we value our life as far as black people? So what does this mean for us? When 50 years ago, we were marching together to protect our race, standing, you know, for our rights, coming together, banding together, no matter where we was from, all across the United States, all across the world, we came together to help support each other, to improve our life structure. You know, people of all races came and banded together during the Civil Rights Movement to improve the quality of life. But why is it that now, when it comes to media, a black person is viewed in a negative image? You know, and some examples, if you read the description, we have examples of in Tyler Perry movies, you have a man dressed as a woman. Now, some people look at that as entertainment, but then I really realizing that this is not the positive image of a black man. You know, why would you want to see a man in a dress acting like a woman? It's not funny. Also on the news, we have a black person, you know, we will see this all the time. Always broadcasted or identified first as the convicted. And then, you know, we have others, you know, as far as like in music, constantly making songs aiming at their own race in a negative viewpoint. We're going to get into our first break, and we're going to come back into it. We're going to, you know, identify what we're going to discuss on today's show. We hope you all enjoy today's show. We hope we can try to enlighten you, you know, help you think outside the box on certain things. Like I said, if you have a comment or a question or concern, make sure you press 1 on your phone. You're listening on the line. The number is 718-508-9972. If you're on the chat board, we'll definitely get to it on the chat board. And if you say something that we need to say on the air, we'll definitely report it for you. But we're going to go ahead and get into our first break of the day.
Hey, let's give that break, man. Let's give that break.
Let's give the break? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Let's go right into this, man.
All right. Now, as far as with the first question of the day, you know, do we value ourselves? Do we value our education? Do we value improving our communities? Which, when you improve your community, you're doing what? Improving yourself. And also, do we value getting a legitimate job? You know, that's something that we deal with all the time, and we see it all the time. Go ahead, Kevin.
Man, let's look at black life itself. When you think about the value of it, it goes back to something Jen was and you guys were talking about a little bit earlier. We can let our audience know, which was how we were viewed as one-fourth of a man in this country to start with. Now, this whole conversation is not to just bombard and just talk bad about white people, because a lot of things that are going on with our community now is a self-reflection, self-inflicted wound upon ourselves.
Right.
I know there's a lot of people that feel like, you know, the white man is the white man that, but we've been in a state, in a mind of awareness for so many years now that we should and be able, we should be able to correct our mind state and where we are at in America right now. I'm looking at all these little situations, just like we were talking about with Sean Bell and the whole situation even with Troy. You have those cases where you have a way, it seems like we're desensitized to those situations. Even with Troy, even though we did get up and we did march, but Troy's story been going on for 3 years, and we just getting along, you know, just getting to it like this. I know the mass media is just catching on to it, but there are more than just Troy Davis that, I mean, they're locked up right now. They're not going to never see the light of day, and we're not even trying to help those situations out. So what is our life really worth? Because, I mean, the only thing we're doing is throwing everybody in jail. Everybody keeps getting put out. You know, what do you guys think about that?
I mean, I think for one, you know, this is a question that, you know, we pose in the session in which we're going to get to, is that a lot of us, not all of us, but some of us have that don't care attitude. Like, we don't care about what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. We don't care about our actions. We don't care about, you know, how we present ourselves in public, you know, even if it's in a obnoxious and, you know, rude manner. You know, we just...
Yeah.
It's not appropriate. And, you know, yes, we do have people who are on death row who are, you know, who are falsely, you know, accused. And then we have those who are out there that just found out about the Troy Davis situation, and then all of a sudden they're for Troy. But I guarantee next week, I mean, they'll forget about it. You know, they won't even, you know, it won't even, like, register in their mind who Troy Davis is next week or the week after next, because they don't care. It's just only for that time and manner just to show, yes, I'm for it, I support. My friends are talking about it, so I'm going to talk about it too. But they don't understand that Troy Davis' situation can be your situation tomorrow too.
Easily.
You never know.
Al, you know what? There's one other situation that, you know, like you were saying, we're so quick to forget in our own community is, look at New Orleans. Not too long ago, you had people sitting on top of the roof. You had, you know, hungry, starved, getting murdered, raped, and everything else. Have we forgotten about that? Yes. In our community, man, we used to stick together for anything, any type of oppression that would happen against us, and we would stand up and fight it with the fullest of our ability. But now it's like, you know, well, whatever, it's them. You know, it's past now. We can just move on. It's like we're still just out there dancing, partying, and the B word, just bull. You know what I'm saying? That's all we do. And I'm tired of it for myself, and I hope there's a consensus in our communities where other people will get tired of it too. Like I said, and I'll state it again, I'm not blaming white folks for nothing. Yes, they do have their part in what's going on with us in America, but at the same time, like I said, we are so aware of what's going on, we need to wake up and just pay attention to what's going on and take action for it.
Right. And see, the thing is, a lot of people they don't look at that, you know. They don't look at taking action. They saying that, well, it's just me. My little voice won't, you know, saying won't mean anything. Your voice will mean something. You got friends that listen to you. You got, you know, family members that will listen to you that will probably support you. You have, you know, saying, you have your own opinions about what you feel is right and wrong. Express those things. But it's like we don't actually get the, well, we don't push for nothing. You know, we just sit back and just let stuff happen.
Yeah.
Like, it's, don't even
But what concerns me is that I think the last time we saw that was maybe the Rodney King riots, where people were so appalled and so moved and so shaken by injustice that they had to act. And now we don't have that. And my question is, what is it going to take? How much further up to the bottom do we have to reach before people are compelled to say no more? No more. I will not take this. I will not stand for this. Not in my community. Not in my my state. Not in my country. And people have to realize, after the Rodney King riots, people did listen. People were shaken. You know, that whole, like, California was shaken by that. You know, people should say, I will not stand. But what is it going to take, you guys? What is going to shake people? Because so much has happened since the Rodney King riots in the 90s to now. Things that I deem, you know, you listed some of them before, like a whole lot worse. What does it take for us to shake people again?
Well, Jean, I think it's because of the conditioning of black people in America right now. You know, we've had events in our lifetime that you would think that will put us on the right path of getting together, taking care of our communities, taking care of our own, and then go out with that. But even with the situation of Rodney King and the situation with Oscar Grant and the situation with Katrina, all these children being killed. Matter of fact, all these kids being killed in our communities now. And it's just not, I mean, even our communities in our local area back in Mississippi, man, we lost 3 people in, what, 3 nights now?
Yep, sure did.
And then you know, that's minimal to some people. You go to Detroit, you got people dying every day. You go to New York, you got people dying every day. L.A., people dying every day in our communities. When, like you said, when is something going to snap? But like I said, it comes to the point where people are so desensitized to everything, it's like we don't even care about it anymore. You know, we just want to sit up there and look at it on TV. Well, hey, it ain't me. You know what I'm saying? It ain't going on with my family. It ain't nothing happening to anybody I know. So we're good.
But I think, like with the Troy Davis case, I know a lot of people were wearing T-shirts, I am Troy Davis. And I think people need to realize it is so easy to happen, to get sucked into a situation that seems nightmarish, where, you know, you may be innocent and you find yourself in prison, you find yourself, you know, accused of something or even in a situation, you know, like you said, involving the police or someone being murdered in your family. You know, it just, I don't know, like we have to realize it could easily be you.
Yes.
You don't
That's
have to
truth.
Live in the projects.
That's
you don't
the
have
truth.
To live on the wrong side of the tracks. You don't have
right.
to, it could be any of us.
That's true.
That's right.
And that's just basically back to where, what is our worth? What is our value in this country? And it seems like it's minimal, to the minimal. Because, like, I know it's something we're going to talk about a little bit later. Just like I looked on television a couple of times, seen a couple of stories. Every time I look up, and this is not a whining or a gripe session, but I'm just saying I am so tired of seeing black individuals on television, the first segment of the news, broken in a house, robbery, murder, kill, boom. We get stuck with that, and I'm so tired of that. Just like, if you guys get the chance, go back and listen to our show, Do Black People Need a PR Specialist? Yes, we do. We need a PR specialist, because right now our image in our communities is atrocious.
Yep.
Very much.
Most definitely. Most definitely, because when somebody
thinks
of a black person.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I think this country has since it was established, and they did the same thing with the Indians and so forth. Our country is ruled by fear. And if we can make, you know, the people on the TV scary, people have a tendency of categorizing and grouping and boxing up people into one box. And if I can make this group of people scary, and if I can make this section of town scary, if I can do this, I can do that, it ensures that, I think it's even more than racism, that it ensures that classism, and so it just so happens that most people of lower economic class happen to be black and Hispanic, that you know, there is a permanent underclass which ensures the future of the 1 or 2% upper class of America. I think that's what it all comes down to. They must demonize the lower class to make people afraid of them, make people fear them, keep them out of jobs, keep them out of our schools, keep them this. And that permanent underclass helps make the rich richer. And I think it has a lot to do with money.
Yes, it do. But just like Green Beasley said on our web chat, you know, you have to stay informed. You have to get educated. And in those situations where, even with education, within our own race, we look at education as nothing. Oh, he's smart. That's cool. I ain't studying that. You know, when a guy gets out of
right.
prison, hey, Ray Ray home. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's
right.
crazy to me when
Let's
we
throw
sit
a
up
party
here.
For Ray Ray.
Exactly. We
don't
instead
value of, it. Instead of throwing a job party for Ray Ray, because what people don't realize, take a guy who comes out of prison. Say he comes out of prison, he's reformed his life, he wants to start a new life. The system is set up, so he is forced into a life of crime and being a criminal a lot of the time. A lot, because a lot of people won't hire these people. They're uneducated. They you know, they're really not given a chance, and they're made a permanent underclass.
Well, I know you did mention our Latino brothers and sisters, but I'm going to tell you something. If you're lucky enough to notice what's going on in the Latino community, and just like I said, black people need a PR specialist, Latinos have a PR specialist. They have a lot of things going on in their communities, and a lot of people don't realize they're coming together. They're working out. Here in Georgia, you can go down Buford Highway. 90% of the side of Buford Highway that's closer to 285 is owned by Latino or either Asian descent.
Wow.
And it's amazing. And I mean, you look at what we're doing in our communities as far as trying to motivate each other to do these things. That goes back to the value of it. We don't even see value in us owning anything anymore. You don't even see restaurants in our neighborhood owned by us, grocery stores owned by us. You don't see anything.
None of that.
Owned by us. We're not improving anything in our neighborhood. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But what happened? You know, I'll be interested to hear some of the callers if you're on the line, you know, press number one or hit us up on the web chat. What do you think? What was the cause of this break? I remember listening to my stories from my parents and people of before about, you know, the black corner store and the lady who sold candy, or, you know, the grocery store or the clothing store or the shoe repair man, you know, like... What happened to our community? Where was the breakdown where those weren't where they stopped being staples in our community and stopped being important?
Well, I'm going to tell you, if I can interject on that, I can tell you what happened. We stopped being proactive when we stopped being reactive. If you remember Black Wall Street in Oklahoma, after they burned that down, that was a big self-contained area. And that wasn't the only area like that. There were plenty of areas like that throughout the United States, but a lot of them shut down after that because it was like, no matter what we get for ourselves, they're going to burn it down. So we became reactive to the point of anytime that there's a need for something, we'll do it at the very last minute. We're not going to do anything beforehand. We do the same thing we do with business. We do it with our family. We do it if there's an uprising in the community. We will wait till the very last minute before we throw on those Troy Davis T-shirts. All before we throw on those shirts with the nooses in them from what was that in Louisiana where they had the tree, the white tree at school. We wait till the very last minute. We're so reactive that we never have time to plan and be proactive, and it's constantly affecting our community.
Yep, most definitely. Most definitely.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing about it, Nick, there was a sense of togetherness at one time, and I think it ended probably when our generation started coming in. It's like now our younger brothers and sisters, man, they don't really care about anything. It's about me, what I can get.
That's right.
And, you know, to a certain degree, I don't blame them. Do you? But at the same time, you got to realize what affects you affects me also. You know,
exactly.
There's nothing wrong with trying to climb the ladder and go up and have the best life that you can. But why not go back and pull up somebody else that's behind you? Or if you see someone like Jim was asking, what happened to the carpenters and the foot shoe repair people? Nobody's teaching these things to these people anymore.
I think a lot of our older generation, like people like my father, who was pre-civil rights and lives now, will tell you that one of the most beneficial and the most destructive things that have ever happened to us as a people has been integration. Because we integrated and now we could go to stores that we couldn't go to before. Instead of recruiting people to come to our community, we left our community behind to integrate into another, which was, I think, it was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, $3 billion.
I think there's an overall lack of respect for those jobs that you were talking about, like a carpenter, a plumber, which are very good jobs, and they're a very good career, but there's a general lack of respect for it. because now everything is what we see on TV. What we see on TV is you got to have a whole lot of money, you got to have a whole lot of rims, everything got to be shining, spinning, and it's got to be made by Sean John. And I can't get that being a plumber, so I don't want to be a plumber. I want to be a boss. That's the problem. Everybody nowadays, I'm a boss this, I'm a boss that, I'm a boss this. If everybody's a boss, who are the damn employees?
Well, but we've been sold a false dream. I think what was interesting, I don't know if anyone out there has been listening to the Republican debates, but Mitt Romney said 2 days ago that he wants everyone in America to be rich. That's not true. I think that that is a perfect example of the lie that's been perpetrated to America for them to try to believe that every single body is going to be a millionaire, and that simply is not true.
You know, the funny part about it, what you guys are talking about with our community, you know, it's like, I don't know if we realize $3 billion comes through our community. We're the only ones that take it in and send it right back out.
Yep.
You know, you have Jewish people that basically keep their money in-house. It's like I was talking about with the Latino people. They're taking money and spending it in-house. You know, the Arabic people taking it in, spending it in-house. Why are we having so much of a problem? I think we got a caller that would like to make a comment.
Okay.
Caller, you're live on the Middleman Talk Show. What's up?
Hey, what's going on? This is Reese.
Reese, what's happening?
Hold on, Reese. Ain't nothing to it, man. My comment I feel about that as a black community is that one thing, we don't want to work for anything anymore. Like you said, we want to be a boss and think everything should be handed to us. We don't work as a community, such as Mexicans, the Latinos, because they don't like to be considered together, but, you know, we see them as the same thing, but they like to work. And the black community just don't like to work anymore. You don't get value out of anything if you don't work for it. All the capital you gain, you just send it right out the door, because most of our kids are aspiring to be dope dealers and things like that, such as entertainment. And even though I'm in that field, but I have to work hard at this. You know what I'm saying? You have to work hard at this, and if you don't want to work hard at it, then you're not going to enjoy your accomplishments as well, because you really didn't work for it. And I think that's something that hurts the black community. We don't work anymore. And like somebody was saying earlier about the point of, we'll celebrate somebody getting released from jail versus celebrate somebody going to college. You won't even come to their graduation or something. You might have been a little too busy or something for that. So you're not really showing no love to those people. But somebody, like you said, Pookie and Ray Ray getting out of jail, and everybody want to go to the club that night and celebrate. Why not have a party for somebody that just graduated from college? You know, it's a small party when that's going down, but, you know what I'm saying, when somebody gets out of, it's supposed to be a huge, humongous block party because he just got out of jail.
Man, Reese, man, we thank you for your comment, and I want to say something, too. I want to ask you a quick question before we get you off the line. What do you think about these images of us doing these things, and how is it affecting our kids and the value of what they have on themselves? If I'm little Johnny, and I see everybody's having a party for when Ray Ray get out of prison, what you think Johnny going to be like, man, if I go to prison, everybody going to be happy for me. But when when Edward over here is getting out of college with a BA or something, you know what I'm saying, they looking at Edward like, ah, whatever. What do you think about those images that the kids are seeing like that?
I think those images really distract us. I really I like that part of the entertainment industry to a certain degree, because I believe everybody should be able to enjoy their success. But I also believe, instead of you saying enjoy your success, also be trying to build up your neighborhood with that. You know what I'm saying? The Oprahs and the black millionaires that do reach out don't get enough love, so they don't keep giving to our community, because you don't show no appreciation for what they're trying to give back to you. So that's why they go to the other people, or like Oprah shows big for Caucasians and things like that. They go back to those because they get more love and attention for doing things in the community from them than they do in the black community. You're not doing enough. I mean, I just built a whole neighborhood in Africa that ain't enough for the black community. Nah, that's not enough. You didn't build it over here. Well, if I build it over here, you'd tore it down.
Wow.
Yep.
So, yes, that's very... Man, we appreciate your comment. If you want to get back in, just press number one again, and we'll bring you back in, all right? You ain't got to hang up on that, okay?
Oh, all right.
All right, appreciate it. Hey, man, he just made a great, interesting point, man.
Yes,
when you think about, you know, just even looking at the fact of our people that are helping out our communities, are they really helping out our communities doing stuff in other places? You know, just like you said, Oprah, man, if Oprah is building a community, you know, she look at the value of us as like, whatever. I mean, but you know, like I know, Oprah Winfrey done many of things for the communities over here in America, but it's not publicized.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But the image of that, you know, because as we all know, the black household watched more TV than any other household in America.
That's right. That's right. And see, one thing with that, too, by giving back to a lower income area, trying to improve the area, it seems that it gets to the point where they tear it back down. They don't take care of it. You know, we don't take care of what we got. I mean, Kevin and I, you know, we're from Columbus, and we, you know, view those projects on, you know, south side of Columbus, you know, where they were nice at the beginning, and then they went to the point of where they just got completely destroyed, and they came back to the point of where they were making improvement, and now it seems like it's getting back to the point of where that they are destroying again. It's like,
yeah,
we're not taking care of it, you know, either. You know, we have that don't care attitude. We don't care.
Well, let me say something to that effect, though. One thing that you got to take into account is you're absolutely right. We'll get it, that area will be brand new, and we'll start to take care. We won't take care of it, and it'll start to break down. But there's also an issue of maintenance that doesn't come out and do anything. They don't demand it. If you go to certain areas, there are certain things that they demand of you depending on what neighborhood you're in. Hey, if you can't keep this maintained, you're not here. But if you have the people that are in charge, in addition to the people that are living there, not caring about the area, then everybody's going to be like, well, if they don't care, I'm not going to care either.
We're guilty of that. We're very guilty of that. Because with our people, you know, I always believe like this, and I don't care what anybody else says. Like, they have a lot of gentrification going on in all these major cities, where you're getting a lot of black people getting pushed out of the cities and into the suburb areas. But at the same time, when you get these people pushed from projects or apartments that get pushed into a house and they don't even know how to take care of a house, you know that's going to be a disastrous situation. What I think they should do is have an educational class, something to educate these people when they move them, our people, when they move them into these suburbs, to these houses, so they can have the value of understanding that, you know, this, I may not own it right now, but when I get my own, I can keep it up. Instead of thinking of when my hot water heater go bad, I just call my maintenance man. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
There you go.
Those are things that we can teach, just like with the parks and all these different little areas around in the neighborhood. Instead of having your child going out there throwing a brick at every street light that's out there because, hey, man, I ain't got nothing to do. Teach them, hey, go out there, clean up your park. Do all these things because, just like you said, Nick, if we don't demand certain things in our neighborhood, they ain't going to do nothing for it.
Right. Right. Now, I want to move into talking about the media and having a, well, where, as far as on the entertainment side of it, that we're not actually viewed as having a positive image as far as a black person, man or woman. We have a lot of TV shows, a lot of actors, a lot of, you know, musicians, and it seems like the thing that is being promoted out there the most is sex, fighting, people battling over money, and also, you know, people killing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We see that all the time dealing with our race. I mean, we have TV shows like, I hate Basketball-wise, because every episode is about what? Somebody about to get in the fight. Who don't like who? You know, you got these, you know, women who are on a higher tax bracket, and that's what, you know, other races who are viewing the show think that that's how our black women act when they get, when they have money. Like, I don't care about you trying to get your bag, and we're going to fight. Go ahead, Nick.
Al, let me break something down for you. Let's use basketball-wise as a prime example. First off, I used to call it the Flavor effect, but it's actually a little bit deeper. There's a character on basketball-wise named Tammy Roman, I think her last name is. Now, what a lot of people might not know is that she was on the original season of The Real World.
The second original.
She was in Real World LA. The Real World LA. Okay. Now, if you remember, and anybody who watched reality television at that point, remember, they never put more than two black people on a reality show.
There you go.
The season that she was on there, she was on there with another black guy by the name of David.
Yep.
They were constantly getting into it. He actually got kicked out of the house after they got into it. They realized a long time ago, and if you go and look at the production credits, the same people that are producing these shows now produced them way back then. Once they realized that black women fighting on television equals ratings, then you had everything soar from there. They started adding more than two black people on there. Here comes Flavor of Love. Now you got 20 black women in the house, and they're all fighting. Ratings go through the roof. They try to duplicate that with Bret Michaels. Then they go with Ray J. Then they go with this person and that person. And the next thing you know, now they got as many black housewives as they do. And none of them married on top of that. The Real Housewives of Atlanta draws more ratings than all the other seasons of Real Housewives collectively. And everybody does the individual cast members more than they do any other cast. Why? Because they all know that they push black drama on television that is going to equal ratings every time. And we get pushed into it every time. We fall for it every time. Because we sit there faithfully and we watch it. And just like Kel said, it goes into that self-destruction thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to keep putting it on there and we're going to keep watching it. And the problem is that those suburban white kids and those suburban white mothers, they think this is how they really are.
Yep, there you go.
Overall puts us in a situation where we're not worth anything. You know, overall,
we're worth,
man,
their entertainment.
This is blackface
for the new millennium.
Exactly. It's like we're the jesters. We're the new jesters. And I you know, like, I kind of had my little rant earlier just speaking upon dealing with how the local news everywhere in America portrays us as the most vile and violent of our community. Which, a lot of times, man, we're not the only ones that have this type of problem. Just like here in Atlanta with the cheating scandal. Everybody's seen that on the world news. Boom. What they did not talk about, little small areas south of here, in the little predominantly white areas that had the same instance happen. But with us, because it's all black teachers. It's all black students, majority. Here we go. Look at these people. They're cheaters. They're liars. They're stealers. Look, they can't even get their kids through school.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So all these negative images, it reinforces the same old stereotype of us as a people that we're nothing, we're lazy, we're just animals.
Mm-hmm.
I think
we can't handle executive jobs, and every time we get one, it has to be associated with some sort of scandal or dishonesty. And I think that it has a double-edged sword, too, because it distracts a lot of honest people, too. Like, I don't want to be associated with that. I'm backing away from that. I don't want to be viewed as that. And so, you know, not only do we get flack for the way that an incident looks, like the cheating scandal, but it has a lot of people that are honest and stuff back away from that. And like, I don't want to be associated with being one of the black cheating teachers.
Yeah, that's true. Let's bring Reese back in. I think Reese has another comment. For anyone else out there on the line, the lines are open, 718-508-9972, if you have a comment. Hey, Reese, you're back live, man.
See, I believe that as far as the entertainment goes, I blame us for parents is there because a lot of black parents don't try to tell their child the difference between entertainment and these kids are stuck at home after school all the way to 10 o'clock at night, watching nothing but reality shows. That's all you got is reality shows all day and all night. And I believe they just get confused because they're kids. They don't know no better. They're just going to go by what they see and what influences them to do what they do, which is the music and TV. And they know that they can reach our primary audience by music and TV. They know that we're not in there jumping in because my mom jumped in and told me that that's fake. You know what I'm saying? I don't ever want to see you acting like that. That's just entertainment or whatever that was. That person just acting real silly. So when I look at Real Housewives, I can't stand it because it just makes me feel like that they acting stupid or silly.
Reese, I want to say this to you, though, man. Regardless of it being entertainment, why do we have to be the focal point of that entertainment? And why can't we as a people demand shows like The Cosby Show again? Why can't we demand shows that show us in a better light? When the last time you see the positive black image on TV? Think about it.
Run's House was the last time. Let me tell you what happened with that. Run's House was the number one show on MTV. It was the number one rated show on MTV, and a year later it was canceled. Now you tell me what happens when you put some positive imagery of black people on TV. You tell me what happens. You tell me any of the time
they're not
going to
keep it on TV, they don't want you to know.
But
you know,
you
they
tell
don't
me
want, they
any
don't
other time in television
themselves.
History, any other time where a show has been number one and a year later it's been canceled?
Never.
Well, I know the last time we did have a positive show on, it was Bill Cosby show and also Different World. And like y'all stated,
you know,
like we all know, Different World did what? Different World had so many black kids wanting to go to college.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, what
and
we have now is mindless numbness. Just numb. Just mind-numbing. I mean, it's crazy that we as a people are still in this same predicament. You know, and I know they said that the Willie Lynch, quote-unquote Willie Lynch letters were supposedly supposed to stop within the next couple of years or so. We're supposed to be out of this spell. But I think in our minds, we've been so engraved with the thought process of we're nothing. You know, we're nothing. And I mean, you can hear it in our own conversation. And that's one thing I know we need to talk about, too, man, the power of words.
Mm-hmm.
When you always see black people together, what we say? Oh, they up to nothing. Or black people can't have nothing. I mean, we constantly telling ourselves the same negative stereotype that everybody put upon us, and we accepting it. Why do y'all think we keep continuously doing that?
That's a good question. I mean, I can add to that as far as, you know, how people say that I'm a product of my environment. I could have easily said that. Kevin and I could have easily said that. We grew up in, you know, some of the, I guess you say, one of the worst sides of the city that we grew up in. We could have easily said we are a product of our environment. But we're not. We're not. I went to college. I got out of that. I didn't have to choose to do some of those things that some of my peers that I see still on the block did when we were growing up. I didn't choose to do that. You got your own mind, you make your own decisions, you make your own path. But people always say and use this this explanation, I'm a product of my environment. That's bull crap to me.
Hmm. Rich, you had a comment, bro?
Oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, like I said, but go back to earlier, I strongly believe it got to do with parenting. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of parents out here that know and don't give a care. You know what I'm saying? They're too busy trying to get theirs instead of too busy trying to invest in your investment, which is your kids. Because your kids going to provide a better life for you if you invest in them and show them the right way to go. And you don't have to worry about, you still going to have your own end scheme of all things. But if you teach your kids right, most parents that I've seen grow up like that, all the love comes back 10 times, and they really enjoy to see their kids make it and do it in life and do well in life, even if they're a carpenter or even if they work, be a manager at a store, anything they be, they have a satisfied life. And I think we so busy trying to see satisfaction in millions and millions of dollars. That's not going to bring you satisfaction, and we blinded to that fact. That's one thing I think that keeps us going in this cycle is we chasing versus trying to build our community and have our own, we too busy chasing theirs.
Right. There you go.
One thing that I could say, even with the standpoint of like, you know, making sure our kids learn the proper way, one thing that can help out us is to realize that we're going to have to sacrifice for our kids. And that involves a lot. And I'm not talking about okay, I'll give you a little time here and I'll give you a little time there. Man, you may have to give up clubbing. You may have to give up a lot of stuff that you know, you really didn't want to give up. I mean, you look at other races. They realize that, hey, I'm going to die. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that you have it better. And when they child see that they'll sacrifice to that amount, they pass it on to their kids. And they pass it on to their kids. And then you look at the generational wealth that gets built beyond your little thinking process of where we at now. You look at this other family, they over there, hey, you wonder why they got everything? Why they balling like that? Not realizing that those parents made those sacrifices a long time ago to make sure that their kids, can enjoy the life that you should have in this country that we call America.
Well, Kev, to play off of that, there's also an issue of, you have to realize, just like you said, we were talking about something else, and you were like, you can only go based off of your experiences. you can only teach based off of your experiences. So the association goes along with that, too. Prime example, you don't want a bunch of people around your kids that just have negative influences. They're always negative about this. It's just like we always say, it takes a village to raise a child. That doesn't necessarily mean that everybody's individually raising that child. But the thing that you do is, Jamie Foxx said this a long time ago. He said, everyone raises your child. It's up to you as a parent to guide them in the right direction, because you can't experience everything. But when they see something else that someone else that someone else does, they can tell you, this is right, this is wrong. So, prime example, we always talk about chivalry. Well, if you see, if you got your child around somebody that always sees a man that's opening the door for a lady, and you're always opening the door for that child's mom, then that child needs to know, hey, as a man, I need to open the door for this lady. I need to pull the chair off for this lady. I need to be polite and courteous and say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, and speak to her like I have some sense. Association has a lot to do with that. That's why, if you remember, when we were kids, there was no, you didn't have friends that your parents didn't know.
That's true. Yep, that's true.
The first time you came over to somebody's house, they asked me, who are your people?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, so all of that goes into it. But it's sacrifices by everybody. It's not just that parent. It's that parent's neighbor. It's that parent's coworker. It's sacrifices by everyone.
And it is true. Nick, you know, one thing, just like with the power of words, one thing that, you know, we kind of thought up as far as dealing with this show, the power of words, how even in our entertainment field, every word that we have is derogatory towards us as a people. It's always something that's going to, you know, I'm going to kill that, or I'm going to shoot that, or I can't stand that. You know what I'm saying? That N-word. Everything that we see now is devaluing us as a people. You know, if we keep down that road right there, and every time if you have to look at another person of your same color and feel fear, or feel like something wrong is coming your way, man, our future is looking pretty, pretty dim. What are some of the things that we could do to improve that? Because as a people, you know, we just self-inflict so many wounds to ourselves and not realize that we're just tearing ourselves down and we're just playing in the hands of those that are in power. What do y'all think about that?
But you know what they say, if you can't change the people around you, change the people around you. That's the first step. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to let you tear down what I've built up because of your, just like you said, your negative and derogative statements all the time. I'm just not going to associate with you. I'm going to find some more positive people.
Not just the people that are around you saying negative things, Nick, even on TV, man, even in our music, just in our everyday life, man, it's constant. It's always constant. I'm getting very tired of every time I look around, man, I'm hearing some negative about us. Something negative.
The thing that trips me out with, you know, certain music, you know, you always hear, you know, we as black people not like the use of the B word towards our women. But these same women who don't like to be called the B word, they will bump and play and download all types of music that call them B's all day. They'll be the number one hit, and they'll play it all day. That song, they love it, but they don't like when people call them that. You know, it's confusing, but to me, I really can't explain. I just don't get it. I don't understand it. You know, they love it, but they don't love it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of women in this country don't know their worth, especially black women. I think black women, you know, the ones that bump those songs, they're not bumping, you know, calling themselves bitches. They're bumping something that's celebratory, that they think that is, you know, getting them attention from men. So hungry, so looking, you know, that's just what's popular, instead of knowing that they're worth more. And I think it's sad. We talk about that on this show all the time, how so many black women do not know who they are or what they're worth as women and how important they are. They just don't.
Right.
They're not taught that as children, as girls. It's just another sad thing.
You know, G, and I got the chance to look at a lot of the, you know, just people, a lot of young people, because I got a little young person here. And I'm just looking at a lot of these young girls. The only thing they know now is sex. They're bombarded with the sex. They're bombarded. Our young black females are bombarded with so much dumbness that I'm really scared for them, and I'm scared for our young males, because if I only hear a song always talk, I mean, I listened to the radio yesterday, just ride, and I'm like, every radio station I turn to, even some of the old school stations, it was about sex or about selling dope. You know what I'm saying? Our young boys are just thinking that their lives, like Reese was saying, it's all about selling dope. It's all about doing something that is going to get you instant gratification. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's a very dangerous thought process that they're putting in our community, and we just eating it up like it's the best thing out there smoking. And it's a scary sight. And I know a long time ago we had a show dealing with, if those on the radio that's listening to us right now don't know, each year, every radio station, is that every year, y'all, or every other year, but I know they have a meeting that they put in the newspaper, probably the smallest section and somewhere in there, telling you that they're having a public meeting about what's going on with that community station and what they're playing. Everybody thinks that you got to go at the PD and say, hey, I don't want you to play this. No, go to the people that own the station when they had this meeting and say, I'm tired of hearing all this sexually explicit music on my radio. Now, albeit, you have the right to listen to anything you want to, freedom of speech, but at the same time, I should not hear certain type of songs all day, every day, and think that my kid is not, and I don't have my kid listening to that, but I don't think it's right, because I believe everybody, child, I'm responsible for their kids too also. I'm still an old school thinker. But I don't think we need to be keep bombarding our kids with this music and not even giving them the right mind state of self-worth and everything else.
Or supporting people that support those people who do demolish our self-worth. You see in white communities, something happens, something they don't like on TV, what's the first thing they do? They worry about the advertisers. Oh, the advertisers will pull out because they don't want to be associated with anything that might be viewed as something that people don't like. We need to stop. If you see a commercial surrounding something that you see is derogatory, stop buying that product. We need to start doing things like that, and because when we start hitting their pockets, they'll start listening a little bit more.
You know, exactly, because I'm going to tell you right now, when it comes down to those radio stations, you know who they listen to? They listen to the sales manager. And when the sales manager is telling them, well, we can't sell any advertising on this station because of the music that we play, we need to change this playlist, I guarantee you they will change it. I guarantee, I've seen it myself. They will change it, I promise. Hit them where, just like Jen said, hit them where it hurts. Hit them in their pockets.
Mm-hmm. If you see a commercial, like, we need to start standing up. I say, I hate some commercials, or something that support something crazy. You know, we need to start saying something.
Mm-hmm. And see, like, another thing as well, too, dealing with that and also music, of course, music influences our children a lot. The mind state of saying that I'm going to college, but they just say they're going to college but don't have a reason to go to college. But you have a lot of kids that will say, well, I want to be a rapper, you know, because I can do this. I want to be a singer because I'm going to make this amount of money. You know, I want to be a dancer. What if that don't work? What if that don't work out for you? Then what you going to do? You're 28 years old and then you just wasted 10 years of your life when you could have been graduating from med school by now. We got a caller that want to comment.
Well, I feel both sides on that because of the fact that I am a singer, but I'm also a college educated man with a very impressive resume. I will say this much: you absolutely have to have a backup plan, but at the same time, you have to at a certain point you have to be realistic with yourself. And I always say that one of the hardest things to do is to take a long, hard, honest look at yourself and where you are in life. And honestly, if people did that more often, we'll be a lot better off. Because honestly, I think a lot of people just have a skewed perception of what's really going on in their lives.
Yeah,
they may really think, hey, this is okay for me to be doing this. No matter what it is you're doing, whether you're trying to be an entertainer, whether you talking about I want to be a doctor, but you can't get past a 2.2 GPA. That might not be the field for you. You have to take a long, hard look at yourself in every facet of life. The only way you're going to succeed is if you do that, because you'll know where you stand. You have to look at yourself like other people see you.
Right. We got a caller. Caller 404-683. You're live on the Middleman Talk Show.
Hey, greetings, family. How y'all doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Good, man. I'm doing fine. Yeah, I have a very, very, very another interesting conversation, of course. But again, you know, we love to point the finger at everybody else, and we all know when we point the finger at everybody else, we have three fingers pointing at ourselves. They got this, and yes, everybody know that your environment is very important. They got this thing called epigenetics. Epigenetics, the basic synopsis of that is when you have your DNA altered by your environment. You know, say for instance, well, this is scientific fact, your first 5 months of a woman's pregnancy determine the characteristics of a child. So what happened is your genetics, your DNA is already set via the birth or whatever. But they know that certain conditions, like say for instance domestic violence or whatever, it will slightly change your DNA and then you'd be more susceptible to addiction. And that's why they have a lot of these tests out here. When a third grader can't pass a particular test, they know how many penitentiary rooms to make. See, the thing about our problem is we don't study. Now, if you look at Genesis, Genesis teach you how to live your life. See, God created the heavens and earth first. You understand what I'm saying? And then he created man and woman. That's how the story goes. I mean, we could talk about UFOs and all other stuff, but again, the earth was already here before before they did their thing. But basically, when you look at human beings who study nature and master nature, then they have the ability to create artificial hearts and artificial limbs. And look at our video games. The person who can recreate reality via the video games get paid the most money. So the thing about it is we lack the knowledge of what's going on, and the only thing we are attached ourselves to is emotion. So if your genetics has been altered because your mother was abused while she was pregnant with you, you know what I'm saying, and you drink sugar and you constantly drink tap water and eat the foods and stuff like that, it is biologically problematic that you cannot think properly. You will not, yes, you can read and write, yes, you can be a surgeon, but you can be addicted to cocaine while you're doing surgery. You see what I'm saying? So the thing about it, we need to clean up ourselves internally. See, the proof is already there. We got all the books, like Will Smith told the children the other day. There are two keys to life, running and reading. He said the reason why he said running is when you get to the point that you're exhausted and tired and you can't breathe and you can defeat that little person, then that gives you the willpower to move on. And the second part about reading, he says there is nothing that you are experiencing, you know, with your mother and your father and life that no one else have already experienced. You see what I'm saying? And they already written down the solutions to those experiences. And that's our problem. And also for the righteous, those who've been out in the field working and helping our people, yes, we are getting to the point that we're getting exhausted, you know what I'm saying? So we need to have communities, we need to have families. It don't have to be a blood brother or sisters, but the real family is the people who have the common cause. So we need to have these little communities that we can rebuild and revitalize the spirit. And then we are more stronger to go out and go and help our brothers and sisters who don't want to listen to us, because I guarantee the world has already been made to hurt those who want to hurt themselves. And we got to tell people, stop talking about things they don't want. You must talk about the things that you do want.
Do want.
Like most
That's
of
right.
people say, oh, I don't like that nigga because he don't do it. I don't like it. No, you got to change it. Well, I wish he would want to think like this. I wish I was with somebody that think like that. You know what I'm saying? So we got to start focusing on the things we want and slow down the negativity on the TV and the old negative songs of my man cheating and drinking tap water and eating foods and all that foods that destroy our health. You know, we forgot about walking.
What's your name, brother? Okay. Appreciate it. Appreciate your comment, man. Powerful comment, man. Powerful comment from that man. If you want to get back in, Elijah, just make sure you press 1 again. We'll bring you back in if you have another comment. But we want to appreciate your comment. But he was actually, he really broke it down. He really broke it down from a genetic standpoint, you know, also to the assimilation standpoint, you know, also, you know, from the behavioral standpoint of it, and also up to adulthood, how that follows throughout your life, you know, how you think. It's, man, good comment. I want to move it to the next, you know, question that we have here. Is also, you know, we were talking about as far as how
when people view somebody who's doing well, they look down on. We see somebody who's progressing financially, they'll steal from. We see somebody because of the color of his shirt or the side of town that they grew up on or stay on, somebody will be willing to fight them or even kill that person because of that. Why is that? Why do we have that mentality? Why do we have that negative view? Because either somebody, well, we look at people as, okay, you better than me, so I'm going to do something to hurt you, or I'm going to say something about you to bring you down or to make other people think that you're less of a person. Why do we do that? You know, why can't we actually promote the growth, just like the caller was just saying? You know, if you don't like something about somebody, say something that you want to see change in them, that is a positive type improvement. You know, he really hit the nail on that particular question that I just posed. Zia, do you have anything you want to add to it? Jan or Nick, you want to add to that?
I think a good argument I see more and more, we've talked about this especially earlier in our previous shows, that like me growing up, where a lot of people scrutinize me for the way that I speak, or, you know, I wasn't black enough or good enough or, you know, this or that because maybe I didn't speak in a slang tone or whatever. And so all my life I've been scrutinized because of that. And I just never understood how people, and I used to always say, which my father told me, how does improper English represent black people? You know, like how does speak correct, like how does choosing to speak correctly, you know, represent something negative in people's minds? But it does. And I think more and more, last year Michelle Obama came out and commented on it, and a lot of people are coming out and commenting on it and saying that, you know, we as a people need to stop doing that to each other.
And that's one thing that, you know, we see starting off, you know, as youth, with kids being bullied. They come home with problems, and, you know, it was a child last week who, you know, committed suicide, you know, because he was bullied. But as far as, you know, with us, our work of life, I mean, I don't, it starts at home. Like, you have to teach those kids, you know, what powers they have, you know, things that they can improve on, things that they can actually look forward to in the future, you know, and then teach them no more. It's that way because kids look to other kids to learn other behaviors as well, too. So if you have, a child out there who is presenting some positive behavior, that other child is going to do the same thing as well, too. But we have, you know, we see this all the time. I mean, we see kids getting arrested, you know, for fighting, killing people, you know, we see it all the time in our community. We have, you know, kids that are drug dealers at age 6 and 7, 9 and 10 because what? They see their older peers doing it. You know, but they don't understand what they're actually putting themselves into. Go ahead, Nick.
Well, going back to your first question about why we do some of the things we do, when we see somebody that has something that we don't, or they do something that we don't, they decide, I don't like you. Because of that, there's a lot of self. It goes back to the whole part of the show. There's a lot of self hatred and a lot of self loathing. A lot of people just flat out don't like themselves, and because they don't like themselves, they don't want anybody else that seemingly is doing better than them. Misery loves company, and that's not just with black people. That's across the board. Misery loves company. So they want to bring you down to their level so they feel like that you're on an equal playing field. Really and truly, it's envy. They actually admire you because you do this, because you can speak this way, because you dress a certain way, or because you associate with a certain crowd. They want that, and they feel like, if I can't have that, rather than saying, let me work hard for this and get to that level that I think that this person is at, because the grass is always greener on the other side. Let me work hard to get to that level. They say, let me just bring you down to my level. So it's a lot of, it goes back, it's self-hatred, it's self-loathing. People just really and truly, a lot of times, don't like themselves.
Yeah, most definitely. And, you know, and that's why they portray an image of someone who they want to be like. You know, they take on a role of somebody else. You know,
I agree. One thing I want to add to it, man, I think that one thing that we miss and I think we lost in our community is the fact that we don't love anymore. You know, we're not teaching people to love each other.
Yeah.
And I don't care if you come from a family that everybody in your family is a hater. Let's keep it real. Some families are just haters. But go around some people that know how to love, man. You know what I'm saying? Go around a family that you know that everybody, you know what I'm saying? You ain't got to be actually a physical part of that family, genetically part of that family, whatever the case may be. But everybody deserves love. And in our community, I think that's one thing that we're lacking is love. Showing these kids, like, yeah, a lot of the people that's our age and a little bit older, they're gone. You might as well just say it for what it is. They mind is gone. Their spirit's gone. They just gone. But now we're not having love in our communities anymore.
I would say this to all people. If you're out there listening and you are one of those people that just, you don't, you know, necessarily love, you, it's a lot of hate, but you have children, ask yourself this serious question. Do you want your child to end up just like you?
I think inherently,
those of us who have children or are raising children, we want them to do better than us. Inherently, we want them to have better than us because nobody knows your individual struggle like you. Mm-hmm. And for the bad times, you honestly wouldn't want to see anybody else. So when you're out there and you're making those decisions, because realize that these children are so much smarter than we give them credit for. And they observe everything from a young age. And they may not seem like it, you may not think they do, but they go back and they emulate it because that's what they see. And their minds are wide open, so they take in everything. So really ask yourself, the next time you're about to make a decision that you know is not right, ask yourself, do you want your child to end up the same way? Do you want your little brother or your little sister to end up the same way, your niece or your nephew or your little cousin? Because it's just like Kev said, you know, for the people that are our age, it's not that I've given up on you, but my focus is the next generation because they can make or break our culture.
Yeah. And I think that we take for granted a lot of times that people have to be self-love is not something that comes naturally. You may not have realized it, you know, because of your upbringing, but your parents, people in your life that loved you and care about you, were grooming you for self-love and to love yourself. And a lot of people have never been taught how to simply love themselves, and they don't know how to teach their children or the younger generation up under them how to love themselves because they have no idea how to do that themselves. That's not something that comes natural. Self-love isn't something that we just are born with. It's something that we learn.
Okay, we want to bring back in Elias. Get back on the live on the talk show. You got a comment? Go ahead.
Well, let me. I want y'all to analyze it. I want y'all to really analyze this because everything y'all are saying is 100% correct, and I don't think we can get rid of the old folks because the old folks do have the wisdom. That's when the disconnection is. The wisdom and wisdom of the old people and people. So we'll get to that. I want y'all to imagine this. Can you imagine if a woman would stop thinking, first of all, with a man that encouraged her, that taught her how to love and appreciate herself, and then after she did that for 1 or 2 years, you know, they decided to, you know, have a child. But when she was pregnant, she didn't go to the funeral. She didn't watch destructive movies. Watch laughs and, you know, comedy and just things like that. He told her to listen to music, not words, just tones and sounds. Some to her baby. And the baby did not hear any arguing and screaming and stuff like that. Then see, you have that child only going to know about love and appreciation. Because remember, the first 5 months of a woman's pregnancy, you must determine the child's conduct. You see what I'm saying? So when somebody is born like that, and they intermingle into others who have not been that, you know, brought up that way, then that child may suffer, but then that child will want to go home. And see, another thing that separates humanity from loving each other is when the mother nowadays have this baby, number one, she don't breastfeed. She don't have the child through her chest so the child can hear her, continue to hear her heartbeat. You know, she put a bottle in the child's mouth and put the child in the crib and go and do her thing. So then the child is more addicted and more dedicated to a material object than another human being. So when a child is 15, 20-some years old, that's a natural behavior because when the child starts screaming, what did the mother do? Gave it a plastic bottle. So when an adult, 34 years old, what do you have to do? Have a big mouth, yell and scream and just act up. What'd he get? He'd get a plastic toy or he'd get a whoop and end up in jail. So no matter what, it's going to be a result because it was a perpetual behavior. Now, dealing with older people, our age group, God has created something that's in us. It's called endorphins. If people get off of tap water and mess the water and just go for a walk, that's all you need to do, because your cells recreate all the time. Your body wants to heal itself over and over and over. It's just that we don't want to walk no more. Walking is not that hard. You can have bad knees sometimes, you know, or something. That's all we need to do to get those endorphins, because we were born, we are born from heaven. We are born from light. We are beings of light. And it's like when I listen to people who had near-death experiences, they want to tell us, like, look, people, you are the greatest force in existence. You are magnificent. You are lovely. You are great. And that's all we need to force on these elders and these older people. And we have to let them know that we've got to let go of this regret and the so-called failures. And that's why when I go to the scriptures, I'm like, look, if you believe that you are a sinner, let's look at these scriptures. I remember I said this before on the show. Let's look at those scriptures. The scriptures were written thousands of years ago. If we didn't manifest these behaviors, the prophets would be called a liar. So let's just try to look for understanding with these behaviors instead of condemning. You see what I'm saying? And then some good water and go for a walk. I guarantee if you're the most negative person, go for a walk and cut somebody out while you're walking.
You're going to have some people walk for 20 miles.
Right.
Because there's some haters out here.
It's okay because...
But no, he's exactly right. That's one thing I always do. When I feel myself like, if I'm in an argument with somebody, like, rather than just sit there, I don't like arguing. I love to debate, but I don't like arguing. And if I feel myself getting that heated, I'm about to go take a walk. And I usually go take a walk, and I go sit down somewhere that's serene. I walk, there's a pond that's not too far from my house. So I just go and I walk there. I'll sit around for a second, take in some air, walk back, and feel better about myself. He's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
But think about what you said, brother. The trees and stuff don't just accept our carbon dioxide. They accept our negative energy. It's like this. I was stressing. I was organizing this community in Gainesville, Florida. Now, I'm from up north going down to Florida. You can imagine that. So what happened, I was so stressed. Sister just hugged me. She said, look, brother, have you ever just took your shoes off, socks off, and go walk in the grass? And me, you know, I tried. You know what I'm saying? I said, okay, I never heard of it. But I start feeling energy, and I start being relieved. I say, whoa, nature is here, and that's why we look at the black community, what is it called? A concrete jungle. There's no trees, there's no grass, there's just dirt, and everything is reflective on each other. You see what I'm saying? So God and creation is already here for us, and again, we just have to create these communities so the children can have something to look up to. And again, for the elders out there, all we have to do is sell that negative tap water. Tap water got so much stuff in it. We are made, 80% water anyway. You know, we are material. Our body, our machines. So let's produce some good water and just go for a walk. Like I said, cut the air out. You know, call the air mother. You know what I mean? And I guarantee you come back with all that stuff off your chest.
Man, we appreciate you coming, man. I agree with a lot of what you said, man. You know, I think people do need to take those things into consideration and relieve some of this anger and haterism that we do have in our communities. Right now, what we're gonna do, y'all? We can get into the very last part of this as far as the self-fulfilling prophecy on our people as far as, well, we kind of just said that, you know.
Yeah, he really touched on that subject.
It is. Well, we do have a break that we need to take right here and need to get into this right quick. We're going to go ahead and do something a little different this time. We're going to go ahead and get into the talk of the town right now. And then after that, we have something special that we want to try to get out there also. Right now, you're listening to the Middleman Talk Show on Blog Talk Radio. We do appreciate everybody. Shouts out to old Shy Boogie. Thank you for listening in, sister. Going to this talk of the town right quick. And after this, we're going to go into this other little record that we got right here we want to play. Talk of the town, Nikki, you ready?
Yes, sir, always.
All right, here we go. Talk of the town, Nikki.
What's up, world? This is your man, Nick Eaton, and I am here with the talk of the town. Teen boy dies from masturbation. Investigators say a 16-year-old Brazilian boy died after masturbating nonstop. In fact, he masturbated 42 times without stopping in Rubiato Town, Brazil. His mother told a local newspaper that she had already known about her son's addiction and that she had planned to take him to the doctor. The young man began to masturbate around midnight and could not stop. At school, his classmates commented on the boy's problems, and some said he asked them to connect with him on a webcam to watch him in action. They also told investigators that his attraction to women was extreme. He was attracted to all types of women, no matter what shape, size, or color. Cops found a huge stash of porn in his room, including photographs and videos of new women that were saved on his PC. Victor Ortiz knocked out by Floyd Mayweather.
You got knocked the f*** out, man!
It was another victory for Money Mayweather, but also a controversial one. Last week, in the highly anticipated bout between Ortiz and Mayweather, Floyd stunned the world when he landed a 1-2 punch to Victor while the boxer's guard was down. Ortiz, who had been losing the fight up until the fourth round, landed some impressive shots on Mayweather, and then he headbutted the boxing vet. When Ortiz went to apologize to Mayweather, he was met with a 2-punch combo that sent him to the floor. After the win, it was reported that Mayweather's focus has shifted towards Manny Pacquiao and wants to deaden the rumors that he's scared of him.
I'm no pumpkin.
I ain't no pumpkin.
I'm no pumpkin.
This is your man, Nick Eaton, and I'm here with the talk of the town.
Yeah, Lord. We ain't going to get into that fight. We're just going to let that be. That'll be an argument within itself. But, yeah, Lord, it'll be an argument. But, you know, just thinking about this whole subject that we had today, you know, just even with the media and how we're perceived and our own self-perception, you know, I was looking around. I'm trying to find something very positive as far as, you know, we normally play records on this show. Yes, we do. We try to play independent or whatever the case may be that fits along the theme of what we do on this show. And I came across this record right here by a group that we played a record from them before, Steel Mag. You know, I appreciate, and I listened to the words of this song right here, and I'm like, man, we need more positive records like this. I'm so tired of commercial radio. I am. God, you just don't know. I hate commercial radio. But I want to get into this record right here. You know, y'all go on our Facebook page and give us a comment about what you think about these guys right here. And that's the Middleman Talk Show on Facebook. Let us know what you think about this record right here. And we're going to go ahead and get into that right now. This is Keep On Trying. Y'all check this out. Blog Talk Radio, The Middleman.
In your brain so you can make a change. Putting sense in your brain so you can make a change. Putting sense in your brain so you can make a change. Putting sense in your brain so you can make a change.
Well, I guess we're going to have to try that again, man. That did not come out well. Boo me. That is my fault, y'all. Oh, my God. Try to do something positive. That's the devil.
That's all it is, man.
That's the devil. Well, we're going to play that the next week, man, because I already know. Next week, man, the show that we're going to try to go ahead and get into next week, man, we're basically talking about how young men are not talked to properly about sex. Y'all got any young boys out there that y'all don't know how to exactly explain sex to them, or you're dealing with a grown man that don't understand sex? Tune in next week. Matter of fact, put them on the line. Tell us, we're going to find out where they went wrong at. Birds and the bees.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And women, too. You know, a lot of y'all don't know what and where y'all was doing the first time you did it. Yeah.
Or, you know, a lot of single mothers out there who have sons, they don't know how to talk to their son, you know, about sex.
That's very true. It's a hard conversation, but it must be had. Must be had. Well, man, I enjoyed this conversation today, and I am so sorry about this record right here. I do apologize to everybody. Seemed like we had some issues with the file itself. It probably got corrupted. But next week, we're definitely going to make sure we get that in. And anybody got anything they want to say before we get up out of here?
Make sure y'all tune in to Talk of the Town on this Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. Same show, same middleman people, but with Nick Eaton.
And back to the show that we had the previous week about the health. Did y'all see where Dr. Oz said, like, arsenic is in apple juice? Did y'all see that?
No.
Yeah, like, don't drink apple juice, y'all. Like, because, you know, our apples don't come from America, which makes sense. They come from, like, you know, some foreign country over there in Asia. And, like, there's arsenic in our apple juice.
What? I saw that.
Like, don't drink apple juice anymore. There's hella arsenic in it.
Oh, yeah. Everything's coming from China.
Yeah, unless
everything's
like,
coming from China.
Unless it's like some kind of locally grown apple juice made, you know, in some like somewhere locally, and it says that, don't buy it.
Matter of fact, just get you a juicer and do it.
Thank you. I was just about to say, whatever happened to just getting a juicer and making your own juice?
Well, this is the
lazy
apple,
boy. We want a label on something. We want to be able to get something.
Store. Listen to me. Be very careful. Get your apples from a farmer's market. That means you know they're locally grown and you know locally produced instead of getting them from a supermarket because those apples most likely came over on some boat and were shipped here from the country and they still have the poisons on them.
Hey, you know what, Dean and Junior? I got a neighbor that's maybe a couple of houses down from me. They got an apple tree in their yard. I'm gonna just go get a couple of them.
Exactly.
Make sure they don't shoot you
by
the street.
Oh, yeah. And down, you know, down the street a little bit by the lake, they got a blueberry bush. So I got it all out here.
Man, let me tell you something. My uncle had a full garden in our backyard. A full garden. Grow some stuff. Why don't y'all just grow? Maybe people stop. Maybe you wouldn't have enough energy to go out and shoot somebody if you were growing some corn in your backyard. And maybe you'd be just a little bit healthier.
Matter of fact, the brother that's listening on the line that was dropping all that knowledge right there, we're going to have a part two to our Are You What You Eat show. We're going to bring a good doctor back in. Doctor, what's his name again, Nick?
Dr. Jamie Reed.
Okay, Dr. Jamie Reese?
Reed.
Okay, I'm bad with names. Y'all might know by now. But we would
call
like
Rick
you to come back
year.
In, and I think everything ties in together. And we definitely do need to be healthy people. Y'all had the chance, or get the chance, to go back to listen to that particular show. And hopefully you can learn some things. We were like, me and Al, like, wow, man, we trying to get our sexy back on. We need to talk to the doctor again. So, you know, I'm trying to get right for the winter.
My sexy never left. I'm just saying.
Why are y'all using the word? Say again?
Just saying, Al.
Like, I don't think a man should say the word sexy and use it in reference to another
whatever,
man.
Whatever.
Damn, man, I'm sexy.
Oh,
I'm
no.
Sexy.
Listen, that little homophobia comment reminded me of something. We need to talk about, listeners out there, get ready, because we're going to talk about something that historically happened. You know, the military has finally demolished, you know, don't ask, don't tell, and we're definitely going to speak upon it.
Yeah.
It's official now.
Yeah. Let's speak up on it. I can tell you how much I don't care. I don't care if you're sleeping with a man or a woman. Can you kill the person that we're trying to kill? That's trying to kill us. I don't really care who you're going home to, as long as you can do the job that you hired to do.
Yeah, I don't care either. But there's a lot of people that, you know, are in uproar because, you know, people can openly. Because
they ain't got nothing else to do.
Yeah. And,
well, you
and
know
people
what?
That are gay or lesbian can now if they were kicked out of the military, they can now re-register and get back in.
I seen something, nothing against all the gay people out there, but I seen them little dudes marching in that little parade they had with the pink, and I told you they were going to have camouflage that was pink and black. I told you they were going to have that. Ain't nobody going to be stuck in no foxhole with no dude with no hot pink on.
That's just for the pros, Steph.
I'm just saying, though.
Foxhole, he's trying to get in your foxhole. It's just not right. I'm just saying. Who cares who you're going home to? Can you do the job? Was it that serious? Don't we have other things in this country going on right now that we could be concentrating on? I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't want to know that you like boys. I don't care. I'd rather have a don't ask, don't tell. Don't tell me nothing.
Oh, and one last thing. You know, I'm full of stuff today. Call your congressman.
Yeah,
call
you
your
are.
Senator. don't take this thing. Call your congressman, call your senator. Tell them to pass Barack Obama's Job Act. He introduced it like 2 weeks ago. No one's moving on it. No one's talking about it. They just want to keep ignoring it or ignoring it. Call your senator, call your congressman. Ask them, what are you going to do? Are you going to vote on it? Are you looking at it? What are you going to do? It's time to move.
Well,
call them this week.
We appreciate everybody for taking the time. Don Calypso, man, thank you very much for promoting for us, man. Thank you very much. Shouts out to everybody
Alex.
On the web chat over
Alex
there. Desperate and Rejected. Thank you for listening to the whole show. Hopefully we can have you as a friend. Click the like button. Like us. Tell a friend to like us. And Shy Boogie, why you so mad radio? Why you mad son radio? I am so sad. Ah! Mad with mad. Once again. But we do like her show. One up, y'all.
Peace.
One down.
The middleman shouted, Beat Crit shouted. Now I ain't sure what you was tuning in to. We'll pay attention to the real talk. What we here for, go take a listen time out. Take a minute. Shout in and learn some. Put your mind to grind the world. You destined to earn some. Linda, yeah. Comment on what you hear. Let's figure out this master plan to put this thing in gear. Don't matter if you hood or you corporate. Don't get you got a will to do way better than you were doing. Well, then you fortunate. Take a stand. Stop complaining about what you ain't got. Hating on the next man because he was dying to wreck shop. Every Sunday, tune in. Go live 6 p.m. BlogTalkRadio.com. The middle me. Hey. What's happening, the middleman? Hey, what's happening, the middleman? Hey, what's happening? BlogTalkRadio.com, the middleman.
Hey, man, did y'all see how fast Nick ran up out of here?
I did. He just dropped on out of here.
I mean, he ain't know what we were trying to do. I'm trying to flag him down. I should have tripped him up. Slammed the door.
Maybe he's getting ready. You know, the games are getting ready.
See, that's what
we're
talking about, man.
This thing's already lost.
Hey, man. Look, man. That's what we're talking about today. Why are you trying to hurt somebody? We just got to talk about how we're trying to brave a positive image. But now you're trying to strip him.
No, I said I should have tripped him. I ain't said I was going to trip him.
It's the same thing.
That's the difference. Should
the same
have.
Thing.
I wasn't thinking wrong. I just said I could have did wrong.
Now.
Just saying.
All right.
Next time you want to check on me, Al, this is what you get.
Put the motherfucker on the face!
Yeah. No one died. Tune in next week. Thank everybody for listening this far. We out.
All right. Have a positive week, everybody.